The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Ten o'clock on ESPN 97.5. Suck on that, AJ. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 hitting the brakes, getting in on time. What? 10 o'clock? I don't see that on the afternoon show, but okay. So okay. Headlines: Astros sweep the A's. That was number one headline over the weekend. Listen, the weekend was centered around the Cougs, right? That game. I know. It turned out to be the biggest and the best thing that happened was the Astros over the A's and just destroying all their hopes and dreams. 35-9, they beat them in runs scored. So that was so much fun, scoring 8.75 runs per game, and against a decent staff, but just crushing the ball. Everybody looked great. Carlos not so much. Tucker, Straw, eh. But for the most, Yuli looks great. Altuve looks great. Bregman looks great. Yordan looks great. Brantley looked great until he got hit.
What's the best Yordan, thing that could happen Yuli this year?
And Yordan, Yuli, and Tuve.
Yeah,
those are the three we wanted to see. Like
and Breggers.
Yeah, all four.
Look, the four games were a perfect scenario, and like what we need from this team is for all you guys to hit. Carlos will still play defense, but maybe struggle from the plate.
Well,
so that number keeps coming down.
It was interesting.
Down.
Facing the lefty Minaya, they drop Carlos they move Yordan up to fourth, and they move Tucker up to second, and who had been struggling a little bit. I don't know that there is an edict out there. We're not going to make Carlos look great this year. But it would sure would have been more. Wouldn't it have been a little bit more obvious against the lefty that you put? It goes Altuve, Correa, Bregman at the top of the order against the lefty. When Tucker struggled mightily against lefties last year. I mean, mightily.
Are they team petty like Lance is?
I don't know about team petty.
I know what you're talking about.
You know, you would do this. If Carlos turned down your money, you would be petty in response. You would. Don't just shake your head. Well, I think you would be.
Yeah, I think you would definitely be.
So, I'm not going to put that on Dusty Baker and James Click and all the other decision makers. I'm just saying, let all these other guys mash. Carlos, maybe you hitting the 250s to 60s this year, and then we'll talk at the end of the year about how much money you want.
I don't think they're going to try it. They're going to really display Carlos this year. I don't.
It won't be a showcase.
No. I mean, and I can certainly see if he struggles some more, maybe down to seventh in the order.
Hey, you really?
Hey, we're gonna
pay. Seventh Listen, place hitter. How much money do you want?
$200 million, our seven hole hitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't do that here.
And maybe other people won't either.
No. And maybe other people won't either.
Look, it's only four games, and you know, baseball guys, the epitome of it's a long season. I'm just saying, could it have worked out better?
We ain't celebrating Carlos Correa this year, baby, no. Boys. Nope. No. We ain't doing that. Actually, insulting $20 million a year.
You heard him.
No.
And it was insulting at 25 on a shorter deal. It wasn't just 20. 25 on a shorter deal was insulting.
That's
you insulting me. Let's just see the numbers at the end of the year. We'll talk about what's insulting and what isn't. Let's just see.
And the slower the start he gets off to, the worse it could get because now you're pressing.
It's a big year for him. He's already talked about how he's looking for a long deal, big contract. Contract year where there's money on the table that you've turned down. I don't know his mental makeup, so I can't comment on that of whether it'll affect him or not. But
yeah.
You never know.
Well, he says that or with Brantley out, it went Tucker and Yordan went up to keep it right, left, right, left. I guess, but against the lefty, with moving Tucker up against the lefty, with how poor he was last year against lefties? Nah. Listen, that's what Dusty did, though. Bregman was out for game three, and he put Diaz in the three hole. What? With all the hitters you got, you're putting Diaz in the three hole? Dusty just went, F it.
Yeah, whatever.
I ain't moving the whole lineup
yeah,
around.
Yeah, just one guy.
I got to think. Nah, I'm busy. Give me a toothpick.
I got
a chaw.
I got wristbands to put on.
I'm busy.
4-0, though.
You're damn right they are. And
that run differential, I mean, 4-0 is one thing, but just staring at the run differential compared to all the other teams in baseball, yeah, I know four games. It's just, man, the A's blow.
Mm-hmm. The A's, no, they're not that. No, that's a pretty good baseball team.
I know, which makes it even better.
You look bad.
You've owned them the last, eight games? It's 7-1 the last eight and just smacked them around in the playoffs and now? All that A's confidence out the window.
So the other story, obviously, was the Cougs. I mean, okay, so
were you
a recruit and I see what I saw, do I look at it, man, that was a Final Four team, or do I look at it and go, meh?
Well, Kelvin Sampson has built something there, so it wasn't as if this team is a out of the blue. Now, certainly making the Final Four, Lance missed his garbage shot. Now John's calling him on it. Now, certainly never the Final Four, but this is a solid program. You should take a look at this place and go, look, I can make a Final Four at Houston. Why wouldn't I want to play there?
By the way, the reason they're there is a couple of transfers.
Yeah,
right?
Which is what the transfer portal will allow for guys who, why is UCLA there? Johnny Juzang couldn't get time at Kentucky, transferred back home, and was the top dog. Yeah.
Holy crap.
So
is Jack Clares. I mean,
yeah, so these things can be looked at and go, look, we are friendly to transfers. You come here. You guys will play. You can be successful. The Cougs can, I don't know the roster setup, but pick and choose. I know they have a couple, multiple guys who are leaving. Hey, you want to come play here? Transfers work out well here. So that's something you can sell.
And I think the guys that sell Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah.
While, and Kelvin Sampson, I he doesn't have to sell the program now if you want to know the truth. He said, we pick the guys now. You know, not everybody fits this program. Yeah, just because you're a 4 or 5 star doesn't mean you fit our program.
I think some coaches get caught up with that, particularly if you've had some success. Then you're open. Then the avenue's open to get more highly rated recruits, and then they turn out not to be guys who fit what you want to do. So you have to. It actually sometimes may get harder. Now you want to be open to more talent. You want more talented players to consider you, but sometimes you have to check yourself and go, look, that's a talented player. He doesn't fit here though.
Yeah.
This what we're built on still remains, and we got to go find guys that not only are talented but fit what we want to do. So, I think the Cougs are going to have more options going forward. We'd have to know the state of Texas and how recruiting in terms of the level of players in these upcoming classes. But maybe guys want to. Maybe I don't have to go outside the state to play.
Maybe I don't go after freshmen anymore. Now with the rules going to change, we can move right in.
That's the deal.
Why go after freshmen when?
Find a guy who can play, who can practice, and if you get the word on him from where he was that, hey, this is just a playing time situation, he's not a bad character guy, bring in a player who knows what the D1 level is about and insert him in the lineup.
Man, how the pandemic changed everything. I feel bad for all the seniors, high school seniors, college seniors that didn't get to walk, didn't get a season last spring. All those kids that didn't get a season last spring, the recruiting has changed drastically now with the transfer portal. The teams just aren't. Why would I go and get a freshman when I can plug in a guy that I recruited a couple of years ago and he can play right now? I mean, it is. And he's got experience. He's bigger, stronger. I don't have to develop a kid. I don't have to waste a scholarship. It is totally, totally different world right now.
Yeah, the football one is the one we focus on as far as guys.
Basketball too.
Yeah, guys waiting to the final day to make a commitment. But when the transfer portal is a thing, and hey, make a decision now, or I'll just pull the guy off the Tennessee roster who wants to leave because there's a coaching change, and he'll slide right in. And with the one-time transfer, you don't have to sit. I got a 3-year player who doesn't have to sit. Why am I going to deal with you? I'll make a decision. So I think it could speed up not for every player, the 5 stars, if they want to wait till the final day, whatever. But for kids who are in that 3-star, the 4-star range, I think it speeds up the recruiting process because a coach can always go, look, it's going to be much easier to get the guy who wants to come here, and I know he wants to come here, as opposed to waiting for you to make a decision. I don't think it helps the high school athlete as much as it certainly does help the current college one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the Cougs are in a good place, and hopefully, you know what, this just builds for the program. It wasn't a good look. I'll tell you, it was a pretty good look for UCLA, despite how did that team, how is that team an 11 seed when they blasted, they beat Michigan, who was playing phenomenal basketball. They took Gonzaga to a charge call and then overtime, beat Alabama, the SEC regular season champ, in overtime. How in the hell was that team an 11 seed?
You have to find out what Mick Cronin and that, how that season went, where they finished the year 22-10, they went 5-1 in the tournament, which means
how in the hell did they lose 10 games?
Yeah,
they must have had, everybody must have been hurt.
I don't know, but it, certainly an underachiever in season, and then kind of showed up. Sometimes teams find their identity, and they play poorly in their Pac-12 tournament, so poorly that they're on the bubble. You know, they were in a play-in game, so they were this close to not making it.
Mm-hmm.
And they figured it out. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Mick Cronin, we talked about it, I think, leading up last week about how his teams in Cincinnati never gotten past a certain point. He hadn't, and he did that. I wonder what it means for Johnny Juzang. Is that a kid who was not on the radar for a lot of people? Does he become a lottery pick? Does he even come back for a second year with UCLA? So, certainly, what happened, great for UCLA, but it also could mean you get your star player for 1 year if what he did in this tournament ups his draft prospects.
So Juzang played 26 games. Jacquez played 32. Campbell played 32. Bernard played 28. Riley played 31. I mean,
so most of their guys were there around the whole league.
Why'd they lose 10 games?
I don't know.
Maybe they didn't come together. Whatever. Whatever. Chris Smith just played 8 games, but I don't get it. They were certainly underachievers during the regular year. There's no question about that, because that was a good basketball game.
They were holy crap. Fourth in conference, behind Oregon, USC, and Colorado. So yeah. And they were seeded that way.
Yep. 713-780-3776, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to get in here, anything that you want to talk about, we'll go over more of the headlines from the weekend. In the meantime, I want to talk about being a champion, and we got the championship game tonight. It's got nothing to do with your electricity in your home. Do you want to watch it? Well, you have to have electricity. What you need is Champion Electricity. What you need is to spend more than you're spending with your electricity company. What I need you to do right now is go to champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560. They are wonderful. Love the service, which I never call them or anything, so I don't know. But they're number one in service, according to J.D. Power and Associates, just about every single year. And what I love about them is that I get the bill at the end. My smallest bill ever was last month. That's how, it's unbelievable how good they are. And they're going to be good with you, too. Champion.energy/1560.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
I'm in love with the coco. I'm in love with the coco.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Del Olale.
Don't go fishing until you've been to the 46th Annual Fishing Show, April 14th through 18th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. They've got everything for the fishermen. All the new rods, reels, and lures, guides from Alaska to South America, dozens of fully rigged boats, and hundreds of kayaks in the kids' clinic on Saturday and Sunday. So call or 7 at 713-780-3776. One's a 4-pack of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. If you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 46th Annual Fishing Show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com for more info. So call us 713-780-3776 for that. It's a 5-day event. Back to John.
All right. 713-780-3776. here. Anything that you want to talk about from the weekend, you're more than welcome with the huge weekend. How about the Rockets? Daniel House got hurt. Right ankle sprain. We'll see how long that lasts. They picked up Armani Brooks, former Coug. They let Justin Patton, the first time that I saw him play, it was like, he's kind of slow, dude. Kind of doesn't have great footwork. And
he's one of those
just awkward.
One of those more traditional big men?
Yeah, just awkward. And, you know, he couldn't switch. So, I mean, if you can't switch now on a pick and roll, you really can't play in this league.
Not the way teams will seek you out and attack you.
No. So he played for a little while, and then he didn't.
Nope.
And then they released him, and they released Ben McLemore as well.
As well.
No sense to play Ben McLemore when you got young guys that got to see time.
Yeah. He's a guy who maybe he lashes on to some playoff team because he can be breaking in case of emergency. Like if guys get hurt or you just need or in foul trouble, you throw him in there for a couple minutes. But yeah, there's no real reason to play him.
Yeah.
I mean, although you're playing Avery Bradley and Kelly Olynyk, two other guys that you would hope that.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that anymore.
Because they're, well, Bradley didn't have a great night shooting, but Kelly Olynyk has shot the ball well since he's been here.
Yeah. He's getting scary.
Which means he might contribute to a couple victories you don't want
to have. Yeah, no. He's actually trying, and we can't have that.
Well, he's a guy who's a free agent, so he's got to put up numbers because he's looking for a deal.
Yeah.
So he's going to play.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I really enjoyed when they were bringing him in for 20, 22 minutes. Now they played him 33 last night, and he's like scoring 26 points. And it's like, what are you doing?
Well,
what are you doing, Steven Silas? You trying to win this game?
He's saying, what I'm doing is I'm at the end of a 4-year, $50 million deal, and I'm only going to be 30. I'd like another one.
Yeah. I mean, do what you're doing with DJ. DJ Augustine is a nice point. He gets people involved. He knows the game. He comes up with some passes that you're like, that's too good a pass. What are you doing?
That's too good of a pass. The Rockets brought on three guys now who don't start for them, but are guys who have been in rotations on playoff teams, on good playoff teams in some instances. This is why it's a problem if they play a lot of minutes, because they may back themselves into a couple wins.
Yeah.
Although it did not happen over the weekend. The Rockets got the job done over the weekend, lost their two games, doing well.
But a little scary.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting a little nervous, but yeah. The games, they wind up the way they're supposed to wind up.
No, that Nets game was horrifying. That's a guaranteed loss, and all of a sudden they're up 18. What are you doing?
Well, the Nets just lost to the Bulls, so they're going to have some variances, particularly when their guys aren't playing.
Yeah, their guys aren't there.
But the Rockets are doing what you like them to do. Show that you have some competitive fire and then wilt because you're not good enough. Lost to the Pelicans. The Pelicans didn't have Brandon Ingram and Zion. They had Lonzo. Lonzo came back and played.
Yeah,
played well. But you're on a 4-game streak. Grizzlies, Nets, Celtics, and Pelicans, and you got the Suns tonight. That should be another one. Add that to the list.
Yeah, and Hernan Gomez. I mean, totally sweet. 7 for 7. I mean, way to go, Hernan Gomez. That's the kind of effort we need against our team. Not, you know, some of these other efforts that we're seeing. People, the Nets letting the Rockets take an 18-point lead. That's ridiculous.
It just made you nervous. But the Nets did what they had to do.
Yeah. Once James left.
And they got better.
But Jayshon's playing well. I mean, we kind of scoff at, well, the four, you know, cornerstones of this team are Martin, Wood, Tate.
Porter.
And Porter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jayshon Tate has actually played well.
It would just be an unlikely foursome to lead you back, considering they're all pretty much castaways. Not Martin. He's a rookie. But Tate's been around, you know, Christian Wood. Certainly developed into a player people didn't think he would be, at least early in his career. And then Kevin Porter Jr. had his issues in Cleveland. For those four to come together, to turn into some building block for a team, it would be an untraditional way of it happening. And how good are they going to be, and how quickly will that occur? Hopefully, would you want them to be really bad next year too?
Yeah. Well, unless they get, yeah, I mean, middle of the pack, just because they're not going to be, they're not going to be really good.
So let's say
they middle get, of the pack is the worst. Remember we went in that
used to call
three
it,
straight years of the stink hole.
Yeah, I used to call it the stink hole. Let's just say they get your guy. It works out for them. They keep their pick, and for whatever reason, maybe it's not number one overall, because I think at number one they probably wouldn't take Suggs. But let's just say they land at four, and they like, and Suggs falls there because he's just not considered a top pick. Whatever reason, he's not one through four, and he's four.
I want three because I think he'll be gone at three.
We'll see. I mean, like I said, I mean, things can change. The draft process hasn't played out, but even still, even after this, people are still talking about him as the fourth or fifth best player. Whatever. Those are people's opinions. Would you want, if you got Suggs or whatever player you take, you want one more year of being awful? Or would you like, now that you've got your pick because you're awful this year, for some development? I
probably want to show some progress.
Yeah.
Probably want to show some progress.
You want the Suggs, Wood thing, yeah, or whoever it is with Wood to be something you can point to, and Kevin Porter as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And you feel good about. And then maybe you attract somebody that will.
Yeah.
You know?
You still have, of course, Wall will still be around. I mean, who knows how much he'll. Oh, my. They'll probably.
Honestly.
Like, if you draft another guard.
And then buy him out.
Well, if you got is there another year left after yeah, this one? Two,
buy
right? After this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, buy him out.
Yeah, it's not your money. Tillman, just pay him. Get him out of here.
Well, I mean,
come to
not,
some tour.
If he's on the floor, he's not helping you.
That's what I'm saying. If you're drafting another perimeter person, particularly a guard, to team with Kevin Porter, you got to find an answer for Wall. Unfortunately, getting rid of him outside, maybe you do the stretch and wave, whatever it's called, but you're going to have him on your cap at a lesser number, but it's stretched out over years as opposed to what you would have to pay now. Because if you're drafting another guard, why are you playing John Wall?
No, that makes no sense at all. No sense at all. Unless he comes off the bench and just... And then he's going to be...
Is he okay? Is he going to be okay with that?
No, he's not going to be okay with that. Absolutely not. Won't be okay with that. But you know what? Jayshon Tate, while he's not... I don't think he's a cornerstone. He's actually showing that he can play in the league.
I think he's a player who could... Possibly. I mean, I said he was pretty much what he is at 25, but maybe not. Maybe a couple more years of development, he becomes a guy at 27, 28 that becomes a legitimate rotation piece on a playoff team. If that's his upside, that's great. Then you have him as a piece going forward. He's a fine player. Yeah. And hopefully with a year of extended time and another one possibly next year, you might find some diamond in the rough. And by diamond, I mean all of a sudden he goes from a guy who you weren't sure could make an NBA roster to a seventh or eighth man.
Yeah. Yep. So Rockets keeping pace, doing what they have to do. Congratulations to the Rockets. That's just good stuff. We appreciate the effort there. Apparently, the cops are looking into, they're investigating Deshaun Watson. So that is happening. We don't know what the accuser is accusing him of, or any of the details. If it even is a Tony Busby client, we don't know. But we do know Tony's pulled back, actually. There's a story that Tony's pulled back on actually going to the police. And he may go to the DA, but there is some thought. Well, he doesn't want to destroy Deshaun. He just wants to get as much money as possible. And Deshaun in prison doesn't help that. So if he's going to get the most money he possibly can for his client, then it probably would exclude prison. What else? Dan Orlovsky and Justin Fields. We talked ad nauseum about that. Jordan Spieth finally wins. You put Justin Spieth on the rundown. Texas is back. His name is Jordan.
Is it,
put some respect on his name.
He's just Jay Spieth
Justin,
to me.
Justin,
whatever.
Jordan.
Either way,
that's a golf.
He just swinging a golf club to me, no matter what.
Do you think he competes this week at Augusta?
I hope so, John. I don't know. How am I supposed to know?
Do you think that he's going to compete at Augusta this week?
You have the golf show. You tell me.
How many golf guests should we have this week? Like five or eight? Between the two, five or eight.
Is there an option for
How many does Art want? 12?
We know he wants zero, unless they want to talk about all the girls they sleep with on the tours. Well, that's the only thing he's going to care about.
Do you think we can get that?
What are they called?
That guest. Can you find that guest?
You would know them more than me. What are they called?
Groupies.
They're just called groupies. There's no like golf tie-in with them?
Like birdies?
Something. I don't know. I don't know.
Think of that bird over there.
Because, you know, I've watched enough stuff where they give them some clever name that's kind of connected to the
one,
sport.
Birdies.
The birdies. Are there any bird? How many guys? Have fun with the birdies.
Dude, you're away from the fam for weeks on end.
I was talking about single guys, John.
I'm not.
I was talking about the guys with families.
Dude, you're in that port for a week.
Port is not a. You're not
is a. Any port
in
a storm?
You're not in the Navy. Okay. You didn't just sail in. Port.
Oh, they do for a week.
I'm talking.
And then they clear out.
The port.
I imagine there's a lot of stuff. And you know what? It's a gentleman's game.
No.
It absolutely is. Mm. And so you don't talk about that kind of stuff. Although there are some legendary stories.
I mean, you want golf to.
Not going to besmirch anybody's
name. You want people to care about golf, the casual fan. I want. Give me the birdie stories.
Yeah.
If you can book those guests, I'm in. And they're willing to answer questions. Bring the guy who's most likely to talk about what he does when he's away from his family. And then we'll have that conversation.
Or single guy.
That's what I said, but you brought the family thing. Bring the single guy. I'm going, yeah. I mean, Jacksonville's crazy. Whatever he wants to say.
Right. Well, yeah.
There has to be a golf tournament in Jacksonville, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
Tell me about the Jacksonville birdies.
The Players is near there.
Well, Players is appropriate then.
That's right.
Give me the info.
You want to hear.
Yeah.
But it's Florida.
Let's lead
girls
up to the Masters.
They do everything.
Well, that's now you're besmirching the whole state. Congratulations.
No, come on. We know that.
Just give
they're
me.
They're in their jorts and they do all kinds. They do stuff you don't like even want them. Don't do that.
Feels like you're talking about Gainesville specifically. Give me the stories and we can have Masters talk every day.
That's what you want.
Yeah. I don't need the Oberman. Ooh, why do they call the Masters? What is happening in Jacksonville on this Friday, on the Thursday night before you get in? Or when you get in, what is happening before your first round? Give me that story.
Up. That's all.
After your first round.
In Jacksonville next week, baby. Hey, meet
Text
me.
Text your girl in Jacksonville and tell her to meet up with you after that first round.
Yeah.
And I want that story.
Tiger did it? Would you think Tiger was the only one out there on tour?
No, he's the only one
with
dumb
19
enough.
Of them?
He's the only one dumb enough to get caught.
If he had 19 that came forward.
This is not a Deshaun thing. Don't come.
Oh, no.
No, if he had 19.
Oh, are you doubting that Tiger had more than 19?
No, I'm not doubting it. But
don't doubt it.
Did he get them to sign NDAs or did he find some of the quote-unquote good ones who wouldn't talk about it?
No, they were good ones.
The good ones.
You know what? They got a code. They got a group
Not
of
everyone
code.
Lives by the code,
A
John.
Birdie code.
Or birdies. That's going to be code for us from now on.
Yeah, the birdies.
I like it. Yeah. Take that to the golf show. I bet people will listen.
I'm going to ask. Hey, guys. Oh, those two. Are
those two.
Me?
They're no, teetotalers, no it sounds like.
There's no chance they're coming up with any names. 1029 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Del Olale.
That's baseball music, and we had just been talking about golf, so this is appropriate. Take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational benefiting Kids Meals Houston. This year's tournament will take place April 28th at 11:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages, lunch from Uberitos, 18 holes of golf, and a quick socially distant dinner and award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com, and I believe we will be at that tournament broadcasting Wildcat, our friends, for the Occasional Invitational.
Yep. We got next Monday is the Lucille's. We'll be at Herman Park. and then playing in that thing. That's going to be awesome with the food and everything else. Are you coming out, or are you going to be here?
Usually I am. Usually the producer for the show is on site, so I believe I'll be
Herman
there for
Park,
that.
Del.
I heard
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Lance will forget.
No. Oh.
Because it'll be Monday.
Of course he'll forget.
And then we got the occasional golf tournament as well. Wildcat Golf Club. What? Get in. If you can play in it, it is so much fun. Let's go. Sign up. Sign up today and play with us. It's good, clean fun for the whole family. Why'd you play All Systems Go?
Because we hadn't played it. We didn't even play it leading up to the season. And I just wanted to let everyone know it's really baseball season and your Astros are really, really
didn't
good.
We play last week at all?
I don't think so.
Don't think we did?
Maybe.
For Richie?
For him, but not specifically just because our
just
Astros.
Just to play, right.
Yeah. So might as well get that in, particularly coming off a four-game sweep of the stupid A's.
Yeah, and somebody said, what about the Orioles sweeping the Red Sox? Who cares?
No one cares about the Orioles.
No one gives a rat's ass about that.
The Red Sox sucked last year. They're going to suck this year. We don't care about the
Orioles.
How
much do people hate that the Astros are swept? I mean, how much do they hate seeing them play well? And
if they
the Angels look pretty good this weekend, so that's a little scary.
Yeah, if the Astros get off to some really hot start, it's going to piss people off so much. I saw about, like when, what's his name, Chandler Rome tweeted out what the song they're playing before he cheats. People were liking it and retweeting it. Look, and then what happened, by the way? After that song got played, what happened in the game that mattered? Just part of a four-game sweep. If they're really good this year and they're just running away with things, the anger from everyone, at some point you'll be resigned to your fate. Like, if they're just mashing teams and winning games, okay. This sucks. There, people are going to say, this sucks. But that initial anger that the Astros are good is going to piss so many people off.
So it's Garcia against Quintana tonight and Greinke against Canning in the two-game set. So, the Astros are playing great, but the Angels are playing well too. And I think, you know, Joe Maddon makes a big difference, and there's a – I'm not thrilled about facing Joe Maddon.
Well, this would be another time to set the record straight, I guess, or at least some establish some dominance, because we talked about it last week that the Angels, at least in what publication, are predicted to win the division. Like, I think I saw where they had 90 wins, the Astros had 88 or something. So, I mean, the A's, it's fun to beat on them because they had so much to say. But if the Angels are really the direct challenge, go put a series win on them too.
Yeah. And then come back home for the A's. You got three against the A's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. No game on Sunday, which I've never seen in Major League Baseball.
What's the explanation
for that? I have no idea why you would get a Sunday off, especially when you're on a homestand. I mean, Sunday is a good attendance day.
That's why I don't get it.
Yeah. Did you see the A's attendance went from 10,000 opening day to 54 to 58 to 45?
What? How does that? Oh, opening day was a Thursday night, right?
Was a Thursday night. What's opening day?
Yeah.
And so you're going to draw fans. But that on a Sunday afternoon, I mean, I don't think they would have had more than 45 if they let everybody in.
What did you said 45,000.
4,500.
I think you said that. That's why I was confused.
No, 10,000 to 5,400 to 5,800 to 4,500.
Well, yeah. No one goes to their games anyway.
Well, no, nobody goes to their games anyway, but boy, that's even poor for them. When they, I don't know, but they obviously could have had at least 10,000 people in the house, right?
Yes, this is what they were at least allowing.
At least. At the very least, they were allowed that. They couldn't hit 10,000 fans. They couldn't hit 6,000 fans.
And not even to boo the hated Astros. People
no.
didn't show up for it.
I mean, and, you know, to get their team going. Finally, they're finally booing the A's, their own team.
At some point, you get tired of the alleged righteous indignation of booing the Astros, and then you look at your team, wait a minute, this team is kicking our ass. You guys suck out there.
I'll tell you what, though, while, you know, the starters, Greinke looked really, really good. I thought McCullers struggled too much. He was fine, and he didn't give up. and he kept battling and whatnot. That first inning of 33 pitches.
McCullough starts to watch just arduous. It's like,
yeah. Yes.
Come on, please. I know you're not giving up anything, but it seems very difficult to not. I can't imagine how difficult it is for you to get through the inning when I have to watch it and it's painful.
Urquidy was much the same way. So was Javier. So not great starts, but just good enough.
Yeah.
Bielak looked pretty damn good. Stanek looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's got that hair thing going on.
The fact that
that's crazy.
You only had to use one pitch, one bullpen guy yesterday. Was it yesterday? Or was it the day before? I'm blanking on who came in and pitched like 4 1/3. Was that yesterday?
It was Bielak.
Yeah, the fact that he could get through 4 1/3 and you didn't have to use anybody else.
4 2/3 with no hits.
4 2/3 and did not preserving that bullpen for the series against the Angels. That was big.
The only one who didn't look really good was
Paredes early.
Paredes,
yeah,
in two appearances.
Yeah,
he didn't look great. He's kind of wild. He and Javier are, I remind me a little bit of each other. If their command is off, mm-hmm. Now if it's on, they are totally sweet.
And Dusty said, "Bielak came in and shut the door. He really saved our staff. We were hoping that he could close the game out because he's really a starter. That was relieving today. So that put us in pretty good shape going to Anaheim, where we can go full bullpen for 2 days.
Yeah." But otherwise everybody looked pretty good. I guess the A's are better than they are. I mean, their pitching staff is better and those hitters are better.
Yeah. They can't be the team. I mean, they were much like the team in the playoffs from last year, but that team during the regular season was good. Won the division. I don't think that they've fallen off. It's just maybe the Astros are really good and a little bit in the A's head, particularly after what happened in the playoffs.
Right. Man, even the star Urquidy gave up 4 hits and 4 1/3. Javier gave up 3 2/3. Greinke gave up 3 6. Taylor gave up a couple of hits. Paredes gave up a couple of hits. Joe Smith gave up a couple of hits. McCullers a couple of hits. McCullers just 2 hits over 5 innings, but he was wild. He gave up three walks. Paredes 4 walks in an inning and a third. That's terrible. And Urquidy was a little bit wild, too, with a couple of walks. But they look good enough. Now, this is a different lineup. This is, you roll it over. It's spectacular at the top, and then it falls off. So we'll see. But they took care of business this past weekend. This is going to be good. It'll be interesting. This is a nice battle here early on, especially with the Astros playing as well, and as much confidence as they got going right now. This is their fifth game as well, so you're facing their fifth starter. But you know what? This is a great, great way, especially with Texans and the Rockets. Goodness gracious, it's so good. And then watching the Cougs on Saturday, it was like, wow, everything just sucks.
Unfortunately, they were what we thought the 11 seed Cinderella would be. Oh, UCLA is not really one, but they played the role of the 11 seed who made it to the final and the final four, and then okay. You find an elite team and they smack you around. That's kind of what it was. It felt like, the step up in talent on the other side was truly in effect. And the Cougs had benefited from low seed, low seed, low seed, low seed. And it felt like some reality hit, unfortunately.
That said, Oklahoma came here and lost by 40 in the Final Four.
It happens. It happens.
It happens.
It just happens.
That was a Buddy Hield team, wasn't it?
I think so. Marquette, even with Dwayne Wade, now they weren't, I think they might have been a 3 or something, the team that beat Kentucky. I don't remember, but they came here with a star player and got smacked around. So it happens.
Absolutely.
Not came here. They got to a Final Four. I forgot where the tournament was, though.
Yeah, no question. All right. News of the Weird coming your way next. We're going to finish up the show strong, headed into Charlie Polillo. Charlie, have all kinds of thoughts on Astros and your Cougs coming up next over the next couple of hours right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Move back?
What? It froze.
What? That was odd. Well, it is News of the Weird, so that's weird. Isn't it weird?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm trying to hit play for the music and it didn't want to play. It's now I'm seeing the circular buffer thing, so we're stuck. As far as just crashed, so that's wonderful.
Ah, okay. Here's one. Here's an odd story. I don't know if you've seen it. An MMA fighter loses his fight because his finger fell off, Dell, and they couldn't find it.
His finger fell off?
Yeah.
Like it was ripped off in the fight, or just, what, he had frostbite?
Yeah, he lost. No, he lost his finger in the fight. Canadian MMA fighter Kitag Pliev began his fight against Devin Goodell. With 10 fingers. Almost every fighter begins almost every fight. He ended it with 9. The first win by TKO as the fight ended between the second and third rounds when somebody in Pliev's corner pointed to where his left ring finger used to be and was presumably like, hey, where'd that go?
Oof. Look, I'm always like, these guys got cauliflower ear. I'm out. That whole thing, I would be out in it. But if you told me a finger could, nah, it's not the sport for me. Good, I'm good with that.
Wow. I don't want to. No. I felt my finger snapped. He kept pulling his glove and my finger snapped. We kept fighting. When the second round was finished, I see my bone was out in the open. Ugh, okay. When the corner says, hey, where's your finger? First of all, you know you're a badass.
Yeah, if you keep fighting.
He absolutely kept fighting, but that we were looking around the ring for it, and So Long Spaghetti podcaster invents new pasta shape made to hold the sauce. Dell, are you saying goodbye to spaghetti?
No, I mean,
because you want to hold your sauce.
No, if I want spaghetti, I'll eat it. It's not my first choice when I know I'm going to put red sauce on something. I'm more of a rotini guy, really. But
yeah, I am too.
Yeah, but spaghetti is fine. I'm not saying goodbye to
it. I'm a rotini guy too.
Yeah,
it actually is curved and it will hold the sauce in it.
This is like those things where they made those dippable chips. Like, hey,
yeah,
I didn't flock to that either. No, it's okay. I'll take the normal triangle chips if I want to dip it in salsa. I'm good. I don't need scoops. I don't want any bag of chips to say scoops on it. I'm okay. I don't need scoop to pasta.
I know how to do it myself. With a regular chip, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm good with
that. I don't need Frito scoops. I don't need that.
No, I don't.
No. And so my fingers get in the dip a little bit.
That's kind of fun.
I don't care.
I mean,
then I get.
It's not great for other people if I'm double dipping, but it's fine.
Tennessee Burger King customer seems to be have a problem, Dell. He was mad about his wait time, so he opened up fire on the drive-thru. That seems to be people are so aggressive right now.
Traffic, I'm upset quite a bit, but you know what? I'm not opening up fire in a drive-thru. It's okay. And what restaurant was it again?
It was a Burger King.
Nothing in Burger King should get you up that.
The woman was reportedly in the passenger seat of a mid-sized four-door gray sedan before getting out of the car, walked up to the window, and had a verbal altercation. Video surveillance shows the suspect retrieved a black handgun from the vehicle, extended her upper arm through the drive-thru window, and fired several shots at Burger King workers. It seems to me that is a little bit aggressive.
What could,
because you had to wait for your Big Mac, for your Whopper.
You got out of the car to argue. That's the first step. I don't foresee myself ever getting out of the car to argue with someone in the because I'm in the drive-thru and it's taking too long. And I'm certainly not opening fire. A little bit of an overreaction?
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh,
maybe a hair.
Maybe.
Maybe a hair.
You think that her weight be longer in prison than the weight she had
in
life?
Yeah, right. I hate to be... in her cell area.
Yeah, good luck if you piss her off.
An Illinois teacher has been suspended, Dell. She posted explicit video of herself having sex on Snapchat. Do you think she should have been fired, or do you think the students would be like, totally sweet, I want her as my teacher? Well,
what's the question, John, we always have to ask?
What she look like?
Yeah, that determines how much they think it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
If it's your Snap... Well, I don't know the morality code for teachers, but if you decide to have sex and make it public, is that a suspendable offense? Because that's what you got. What's I guess it is. Yeah, I guess if you're a teacher, keep your sex off the public apps.
Yeah, it doesn't give us her name, so we can't look her up
to determine if you want to see her.
I don't know. I just think it. Well, hey, I feel teachers like, want to put themselves on Snapchat. You know what? It depends on what she looks like, obviously. I wouldn't have wanted to see Mrs. Crump doing it.
I think it.
Not Crump, Mrs. Kump, or what was her name? Kump.
Oh, that's someone you know?
Yeah, that was my fifth grade teacher. Oh.
I thought you were talking about
No, Helen Crump. Yeah, that's what I would have wanted to see.
Andy and Mayberry.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Clumps from.
No. I had Mrs. Kump, which is too close to Mrs. Crump.
That's a terrible name, by the way. Is it a Snapchat or students could readily access? Because if it's like private between her and a couple people, and those are the only people who know about it, I have less of a problem with it. Now, if she was like, hey, kids, if you have any questions, you can always Snapchat me. And then she puts that out there.
People do what they want in their own time. It's not like she did it in the classroom.
Apparently, teachers have to.
While school was going on.
Teachers have to live up to a certain standard, John.
Dell, I'm looking at it. The Connecticut family received a shock. A turkey crashed through their window and then just destroyed their home, the inside of the home.
So the turkey was able to survive getting through the crashing and then decided to just wreak havoc. Is it a wild turkey or one of those? It has to be, right? Because one of those docile things that gets their head cut off for Thanksgiving can't survive that.
Well, right before we saw a couple turkeys walking in the yard, 2 minutes later, one flew through the window. I didn't know what was happening. I saw a turkey on the floor, glass breaking, so loud, like a movie. And then the turkey just started destroying everything. Do you think they should have killed it and eaten it?
Well, sure. I guess. Look, turkey is overrated unless it's at the holidays. But if the turkey, you need to get some get back. The turkey destroys your home, you take its head off.
Right.
And I would say deep fry that thing.
A UK woman has received jail time, actually. I think she got 3 months, I want to say. For posting a picture of her ex-lover's manhood and then making fun of it on social media.
Did she get...
Instagram.
She get the punishment for making fun of it and shaming or for posting the picture?
It both. She got... it's revenge porn.
Oh, that's true.
Revenge porn, that's what she got it for.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it generally doesn't happen in that direction. It's usually man doing it to woman, but
right
by definition, yeah, she posted that was private.
That was private. His privates. True. And then she put a laughing emoji. See?
He had to rub it in.
That's not right. A UK woman gives birth to super twins.
How super are they?
They were conceived 3 weeks apart.
And they're still considered twins? How does that happen?
Well, because I guess they were in, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. She had the first baby, and then 3 weeks later, she had the second.
Was she unaware that she had twins?
Fertility clinic. She went to a fertility clinic. I don't know. And that she conceived, it doesn't say. I had just been having a conversation about my previous scan that I was only having one baby, so she was so silent. And apparently the second baby came along.
Is your doctor bad at what they do if they don't know you have a second baby? Like even, look, leading
is up. Is your husband a little disappointed? You're still a little heavy there.
I thought the baby weight would immediately leave.
Yeah, what's this?
A big lump.
Can't you get rid of the rest of that stuff in there?
Like only 3 weeks later, you'd be they would destroy you if you put that out there on Twitter or something. If not only is the doctor bad for not noticing it, in labor, you didn't acknowledge that there was a second child in the 9 months leading up to labor? You need to find better doctors.
No. Well, it's the UK.
What does that mean?
They're not that good.
You don't think they have accomplished doctors over there?
No, I don't think they do. What I think we have accomplishments here is HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. And if you're not accomplishing what you need to do, you call HR and you call HRP because they can take care of any HR issue that you have. But the key to HRP is, to me, it's the payroll. But not only the payroll, because the payroll they give you at a great price. Now, other payroll companies, this is the scam, people. Other payroll companies will come in at a better price on the payroll. But then you have to take their benefits packages. You have to take their 401k. You have to take their insurance plan. You got to take their other benefit packages that they're offering there. But you have to take theirs, and that's where they make the money. And then you're like, wait a minute, this is very expensive here. Well, that's not what HRP does. HR&P, they do your payroll, they do your HR, but then there are all kinds of options for you on all the other benefits packages. And when it's all said and done, you are saving money. Okay, so don't play that game that the other payroll companies are playing. Okay, it's just trying to lure you in. Go with HRP. We love them. You'll love them too. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.